Blog Talk Radio.
Call me Little Bo Beef, I'm out here shining. For the lost sheep, I'm out here grinding. I ain't talking cheese, I'm out here mining. Looking for diamonds, kingdom business, I'm mining. Trying to wake you up from the lullaby rhyming. Devil can't touch this, he pantomiming. He is a liar, so said the lion Judah. Shelter in my protector. Running to him, be faster than a puma. Holy is a wave, repping the ancient of days. Christ is a big cool homie.
Shalom, shalom.
You probably hear me better now?
Oh, loud and clear, loud and clear.
Man, what a day. What a day. You've never been more thankful to be home. You know, get off work, try to get home, traffic, everything. So the crazy thing was, last stop we ran into we delivered to a Palestinian. I think she was from Palestine, right? Yeah. All right. We delivered to her. And let me say this, Mushaba. Normally, these are some of the cockiest people. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of the nations, when we deliver, it's almost like that arrogance of, like, this is, like, y'all work for us. Like, we're going to do what we want you to do. But it was a lot of huge, I mean...
That's the era of people.
Right. Yeah, in general. But well, that one just got me because she was kind of come with some humility and just trying to stay low-key. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't looking over our shoulder. Wasn't that cockiness wasn't there. But it was just a trip. And we got to talking about what was going on over in Israel. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
The one thing she kept saying was, she's over here. She said, she's over here, but the way she dressed to everything else right now, it's not acceptable. It is more American. She had the head cover, everything, you know what I'm saying? But she just kept talking about not having, you know, that not, being home and the culture is different, way more different. So it was just a trip out there. What's up, God? That shit just tearing it up over there. You know, I don't know how much of, you know, the things that are going on there that we really get to see, but whatever's happening over there has really impacted the world. You know what I'm saying?
God.
It's almost like it's almost got. It's got the nation, the United Kingdom, all that shit on guard, right? But it was just a trip that happened. And just like running into people like that, you start to see, man, one thing that was in my mind was the Most High really is revealing, and it's going to get closer and closer that he's going to keep revealing who his saints are. You know what I'm saying? Who his chosen people are. Because you see, if you see our little, I don't say videos, but little clips of things on YouTube, or not on YouTube, but on Facebook, you had people going off, man, their kids, they're like going through the rubble, they're finding dead bodies, finding kids, you know what I'm saying?
God.
So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, man. It's going to be crazy when the Most High revealed these were my people. The thing we're supposed to be sitting here waiting on is the Father comes back to show the world. These were the people you had in derision, the people you had in the captivity, the people you took the history from, their name, their land, all of that. These were them. These were the God. People that I was coming to save. So it was just a trip. I've also been going through my mind all day. It's like, you know, we only get prayed, man. Father, you know, speed this shit up, you know. Turn that fire up. You know, as much as we going to lose, everything that we going to lose is going to be from what it's going to be everything here in America that we were supposed to lose. We have to lose something to gain the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? So we only pray the Father to speed this up, you know. If you're gonna bring this place to desolation, bring it to desolation. I ain't got nothing to lose. We ain't losing nothing here anyway. We in captivity. And if you really made an investment, and you made your investment in America, you was a fool. You should have made your investment righteousness. You should have made being right with the Father the investment. You know, so
kind.
Some of it I wanted to go. I had the boys, man. They were just in here ready to go, man. But I've been. It's been in my head about. Jose, I wanted to have the boys read Psalms 133. We start there too. About the blessings that come from being unified, and how we get unified. How do we love each other? How do we develop brotherly love? You know what I'm saying? Just two of the things that I wanted to go more into tonight. And I'm gonna rush through because I got in here late. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to get early, but I got here late. So I'm like, I want to jump in, hit these scriptures, but I really wanted to hit a little unity and show how we were supposed to unify. You know what I'm saying? Unify just ain't the fact that we unify because we are all together. People could be in the same room. We all be in the same place, in the same room, but we're not unified. We can all wear the same color, but not be unified. We can all go to the same church or go to the same, be in the same camp, but not all be unified. So I'm sorry, it was Psalms 133. Hey, Shar, come on, you ready? Let me give me a new reader. I think the bar is working.
I've been trying to reach out to him all day yesterday and today. No answer, so I'm not sure.
I did the same thing. I was trying to see if he's going to be on the show. We don't go forward. We need Star. Help us read. Psalm chapter 132 is going to start out. Go to Psalms when you're using your phone.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The actual Bible? Yeah, not a lot. Or even your Bible? Yeah, come on, dear.
I took all right.
Go to Psalms chapter 133 and verse 1, I think, right? I ain't going to go too deep in this because when we read these scriptures, and I like them, then this popped my mind, Shiloh, because I can remember times upon the basketball court with the little kids or soccer practice with the kids. And this is the one thing that he prayed for. This is the one thing he always tried to show them. It's like starting young, showing them the best outcome. Starts here. Our best outcome in anything that we do, it starts right here. So it's Psalms 133, you're going to read verse 1, verse 2, and verse 3, okay? Read that.
Psalm chapter 133 and verse 1.
Uh-huh.
A song of degrees of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Stop. The subject topic is talking about what? Being together, but being together unified. Go ahead.
It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion.
Uh-huh.
For there the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore.
He's showing it. We break this down. In the unity, the Most High said, when we're unified, that's where he commanded the blessing. It wasn't Mount Zion. It wasn't the dew of Hermon.
Right.
It wasn't about the oil that ran down Aaron's beard. He was just showing you that our unity is our unity to him is like a like we do every Passover. We do the anointing. You know what I'm saying? He is comparing our unity to the anointing that a priest would get, or the dew of Hermon. I don't go into ice water. I'm sorry. I've heard some of the craziest things, but I can understand that we, as Israelites, a lot of time I think that if we try to make something deep, we really skip over the point he's trying to show us. This is how special unity was. But you have to know how to unify. Unity is not built on the fact that we're in a room together. We can be together, but not be unified. We can be together, but have our own personal agendas. And in that, it keeps us not unified. It keeps us divided. Hold that. Finish that short. Hold that real quick. We get one more. I want you to go to Mark 7. I want you to go to let's go to the couple. Give me 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, say verse 1, and you're going to read down to verse 3, okay? And then, Kyle, I want you to read Amos chapter 3, and I want you to read verse 3. Read those two real quick. All right.
1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Read.
I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it.
Read.
Neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal.
Read.
For whereas there is among you envying.
Now stop. Go ahead. Envy. Go ahead.
And strife.
Read.
And division.
Uh-huh.
And are not carnal. Are ye not carnal?
Read.
And walk as men.
So it's showing you, like this chapter Paul is showing, there is a spiritual side of this truth that as brothers, we can still look at. The Most High can look at us and be able to show, okay, from the way we do things and how divided we are, we're still on what will be considered milk. We haven't fully grasped the understanding of what this is about. So we get up and we teach. We get up and we talk the Bible. We use scriptures, you know, about being in the spirit, but Paul would let them know, even at this time. You're, because these things are still there, envy, strife, division, you still don't fully understand. There's still things that you're, because this is here, you don't see the importance of unity. You don't see the importance of brotherly love. You don't see the importance of sacrificing. You haven't yet been able to walk in the spirit, and you're still a babe. Because you're here, you're going through the motions, just like children do. You can tell a child, because a child goes through the motions. An adult understands why we do what we do. An adult, some of the more maturity, they understand the importance of this, or they understand the importance of that. But a child just kind of follow and just go through the motions because I'm still a child.
Okay.
So in that, we look at these scriptures and we're like, man, we're still in that childish stage, because these things are still in us. We still operate with envy, strife, division. These are the things that still keep me as a carnal-minded man and not spiritual. The world operates carnal-minded. Everybody in the world is looking out for themselves. Everybody's trying to now be an individual and come up as an individual. It's okay. Go listen. Now, being carnal-minded, being divided, right? I want you to go here real quick on those points. What did I say? Amos 3:3. I'm not trying to just harp it on the point of just being divided, because a lot of times we'll stop and say, hold on, we teach us, hey guys, stop. We teach the same thing, or, you know, our dress is the same, or, hey man, you got your beard, I got my beard too. You put your fringes on, I got my fringes on too. So at the point, if I had to stand before Christ, I would be trying to use those things to say, well, see, Father, we were unified. We still taught that Christ is black. We're unified. We still taught that we're the Jews. We're unified. But what we haven't done is look to the Bible and say, okay, what do we use, or what actions determine if we are unified? I got a special guest. You there?
I'm listening. I'm catching every word you're saying.
DeMarco Wall?
Shalom, sirs.
How about you, man?
I'm glad you could join in, man. We've been trying to get a hold of you for a few days, brother. You know what I
mean? Yeah, I'm all right. My brother's in the hospital. I had to take to the hospital. But, the purpose of the class is to esteem others better than ourselves. So I believe you're going over you're still going over the brotherly love thing on there. So I'm here. I'm ready.
I wanted to go here a little bit, right? When I told Kyle, Amos 3:3. I get that. It's Amos 3:3, right?
Come.
Get that real quick for us, and then I'm going to go to just read 1 Corinthians 11:16, and then I have Star read St. John 13. We're gonna read these verses, right?
Come.
Amos, what you got there? Okay, read Amos first. Amos 3. And verse 3.
Amos 3:3 reads, can two walk together except they be agreed?
Uh-huh.
Can two walk together except they be agreed? Go to 4.
Is that it?
That's it for 3.
No, but you know why I asked that it? Because really, you look at one thing. The big catch is, he said, can we walk together unless we be agreed? But we'll interpret that as you teach what I teach. That's why we walk together. That's why I wanted to read examples of men that walk together because they agreed. Because it wasn't always based around what was being taught. It was based around lifestyles. When Christ went up to the mountain to pray, I don't think everything that Christ said and did, the disciples agreed, you know what I'm saying, or they understood. But there was a love that was there that they was ready to lay down their life for him. Even to the end, when they betrayed Christ and all the things that were going on, was just based around what was being taught is what they were holding on to agree with, the principles, who he was, the people that he was helping. You can start reading and looking at the things that kept them unified, and this would kept them agreeing on. So, but the scripture says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, read 1 Corinthians now, okay? Chapter 11. Let's be examples of men that walk together because they agree. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16, right?
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16.
And this is going to be Kaz reading this. Hold on. Let me get it real quick. And then Gabar, give 1 John, St. John chapter 13, verse 1. Okay? Let's read those real fast. Let me get it caught real fast so I can be right there with you. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 6. 16, right? Okay. All right, read that.
But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, even the churches of the Most High.
So I forgot what the definition of contentious was.
Did you want me to look it up, or did you want to look it up?
Please, Mr. Albert, can you look it up? It says, if any man seem to be contentious, I went right to the right place to start there. Whenever you got it, let me know.
I got my computer up, and this print is small as hell. Forgive me. First Corinthians chapter 11 verse 16, the word content. Did you want to read it, Gabar, or did you want me to read it?
No, if you got it, sir, I got you.
All right, from the Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says contentious, apt to contend, given to angry debate, quarrelsome, perverse.
Okay, so they love to argue. They love to be opposed. They love to oppose. They're apt to debate.
Exciting or adapted to provoke contention or disputes.
I love to dispute. I love to be the one that I love to strike up an argument. I just got to be different.
I got to be right.
Right. I got to be right.
If you're not going to agree with me, I'm not going to stop until you agree with me.
Right. So I like this too. Now I understand why that when the 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, I'm going to read this real quick. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is the Most High. So there was an order. This started out with having enough order to be able to follow. Christ had to follow the Most High. The man had to follow Christ. The woman had to follow the man. So when you jump down, as men, we argue. We argue with each other. We argue. We like to contend with the Bible. We want to be right. We want to be right. We want the scriptures. And we want what we would call the spirit. We like to be able to go that, okay, when I'm doing this and what I'm doing, I'm right in the spirit. I'm right with the Most High. But the whole time I can look at the Bible, I can be reading the Bible and like, wait a minute. The words of the Most High are showing me that I'm contrary to the Bible. So how do we figure out, How do we set aside the Bible to now go ahead and push and follow my agenda? But I like to debate because I like to be right. I don't want to say, hey, you know what, Michelle, but we are unified. When everybody
else as long as you're doing it my way.
There you go. Because you are unified with me. but I am contentious. That's a contentious person. I like to be right, and we don't get along if I'm not right. We can't talk together, hang out, do none of that, because you're not doing it my way.
That's why you're carnal. That's why you're a babe.
Right.
You don't see it my way. See, the Bible talks about this.
But I love what the Most High showing. You're not real. That's that man that ain't humble enough to see. You are contentious. And verse 16 says, if any man seem to be contentious, he has to be right. He said, we have no such custom, neither the Church of the Most High. It was never about you being right. That's not our custom. Our custom is not for you to be right. That's the world. No, the whole folks of the world is every society has to be better. We have to be smarter, bigger, stronger, faster. Like the Mashaba, you know, the whole purpose of the Olympics is to show who's the strongest, who's the fastest, who's the who swim the longest, who's the fastest swimmer, who's the fastest skater, who's the fastest runner, who's the strongest.
Yeah, none of it got anything to do with the Most High, but yeah.
None. It's all a competition. One's right, one's better, one's right. And if I'm not right or I'm not better, you carnal, you're divided because you ain't submitted to me. And the Most High, like, wait a minute, we're supposed to be submitting to the word of the Most High. And you know what's crazy? There's a lot of that going on. You look, especially on YouTube and social media, you watch Brother with a Hebrew name and got a blunt in his mouth, get ready to go work out. You like, you know the scripture that's just following your temple. Like it's a shock. Like, what book are you reading? What book are you reading? I'm on the Sabbath day. Opening my Apocrypha, and I'm burning. I'm walking through the house, getting ready to do Sabbath service, with a blunt in my mouth. Or I'm walking to work out with a blunt in my mouth. I'm like, what Bible are you reading? Oh, you reading your Bible. You ain't reading the Bible. You reading your Bible. You're not looking at the scriptures for the interpretation of the scriptures and now following what the scripture says. You are following your interpretation of what this is now. But there is a scripture that tells us for a man not to have scripture that have no private interpretation.
Verse 52:21.
The bar, can you get that?
Yes, sir.
Come on. I want you to read this now. Keep reading 1 Corinthians. Because we're going to go and start showing why there's so much division. Read the, was it, what did you say, Masala? 1 Corinthians what?
I thought it was 1 Peter 2:21.
1 Peter 2:21.
Thank you, Al.
First Peter chapter 2, verse 21 reads, for even hereunto,
I'm sorry. Give me 1 second. It might be Second Peter. I might have called the wrong one. It's Second Peter 1:20. I'm sorry. The word dyslexia has been thrown around a lot this week, so forgive me. I'm not saying that to make fun of anybody. I got my numbers mixed up. I promise you, I'm not trying to say that to make fun of anybody.
Okay, so it's the second Peter.
1 and 20.
Chapter 1 and 20. Greek. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of the Most High spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Man, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. These chapters are bad. DeBar. Start at verse 2.
Start at verse 2?
Yeah, read verse 2.
Second Peter.
It almost helps you understand why he had to say that the scripture of knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. I understand that the men that wrote the book were inspired, right? They were inspired by the Spirit. The Most High put the words in there. I just never read this chapter to kind of get a understand of why Peter said that. Read that.
2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 reads, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of the Most High and of Yahushua our Lord.
So what is supposed to be, what multiplies peace and knowledge, or grace and peace? It said knowledge is supposed to multiply grace, and it's supposed to make us more peaceful by what we're learning, right?
Come on.
God, the Lord God. So you look at a cat that's studying. If I'm really in this book and I'm studying the way I'm supposed to be studying, or I'm following the Bible, there should be less contentious spirits, and there should be more peaceful spirit. Would y'all agree?
I agree. It is the one thing I just want to add as you go. I'm gonna let you keep going. Is that it is then with prophecy, and that if everybody really is against the prophecies of the Most High, the prophecy of the Most High can't be in a prime interpretation. He says this is going to happen. That then when it happens, that ain't no prime interpretation.
Right.
It's a prophecy. He said like. Him saying that we're going to come over on cargo slave ships, that's not a private interpretation. That's nothing that we privately interpret. He prophesied that. It happened. Right. So if we're looking, if everybody's focused on the prophecy of the Most High, there shouldn't be no debating.
Right.
There shouldn't be no contentions. If we're focusing on the prophecies of the Most High, but everybody kind of takes their part of the scriptures, like Christ said, and I'm going to take out of it what I want, for what I'm looking towards, for what's in my heart, for my desires, that ain't got squat to do with the prophecy of the Most High. It's all about this is what I want. I want this, so I'm going to find, hey, you know what? Abraham was prosperous, so why not? Jacob was prosperous. Joseph was prosperous. That's you know what? David was prosperous. You know what? We should use this Bible to get rich.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the prophecies, no, don't like by the body, if I'm familiar with like some of the talks we've been having,
mm-hmm.
that we was prophesying, we was teaching the prophecy of the Most High going all the way back to the 90s. That it's going to be war, rumor wars. That these things are going to happen. That those were the prophecies.
Okay.
Like you were saying, all the revelation breakdowns he was getting. All the Daniel breakdowns he was getting, the Deuteronomy breakdowns was dealing with the prophecies of what's going to happen, what's happening, what's going to happen.
Right.
But we get twisted from that, and our minds go after what we want. And being that, those carnal babes. Like, no, I'm not dealing with the prophecies. I got something in my heart. Damn, Gabar. You're on the phone, Gabar, so I got an old song in my head. There's something in my heart, something in my heart.
In my heart. what was her name?
Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle.
But by the way, I am not going to interrupt you. I'm not going to interrupt. Nothing else. No more. I'm putting myself on mute.
You better not. Because you know what I'm looking at? You made a good point, Ashama. You made a good point. Because all week, you know what's been there? A spirit of peace. Because when we first it was like, I told you, I said, I saw this stuff about Egypt, about Israel. And I'm like, wait, we're going on a revelation breakdown. And the brother said this was going to happen. But at first it was like that, wow. Then it was like, this is getting close, man. Like, this is real. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is a spirit of peace that's there. And the more we're in the prophecy, the more we're in the book, that's what's supposed to be multiplied. All the stress, all the every day I'm just kind of on this rat wheel. I can say, you know what? I need to get off this. I need to get on and start looking at these prophecies and look at what's going on and start getting prepared for the next one. Prepare for when the Most High do this. Prepare for when the Most High say you're going to do this, and he do it. This is what I'm supposed to be giving my mind to. We're supposed to be unified there. These are things, these are steps that are supposed to help us get more unified, right?
No, right, no. To help us.
Verse 3 real quick.
Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 reads, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
Hold on, stop there. You got to look out. It said, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All these prophecies, listen, as much as I can tell you this is going to happen, the Most High come back and tell you how I'm going to save you, that I'm going to save you. Now, you're supposed to gird your mind up for what's going to happen, and you're supposed to endure through it until he come and save you. Our biggest demon is what we're going to lose now. But I'm starting to look at it. I went and got that $50,000 vehicle. I was just winning up. Michelle just got me an $80,000 truck, a Cadillac. Or, shoot, I'm in the trucking business. I just started my truck business, man. And I just started to get to the point where, okay, the money about to come in. And all of a sudden, you're telling me, oh, this prophecy just hit? Hold on, y'all. I just would have got this new trucking business. Or hold on, I just would have purchased this new house. Or hold on, I just got this new land that I still ain't got to work yet.
I got a new wife.
I just got a new wife. We just had a baby. We ain't yet got our apartment and got ourselves set up.
We're going on a honeymoon.
The father's like, go ahead. But the prophecies are stopping. I said that was going to happen. This has happened. You know what's killing me? The nations is scared of the motherfucker. Excuse my language. Sometimes the cuss word brings the, you know what I'm saying, the emphasis of what's going on.
I got you, bro. And remember,
yeah,
an effort, In layman's terms, an inept would be an adulterer. So let's go ahead and get it together. You are Sam Jackson's favorite word. You're an adulterer. You're a mother. God.
You just he said the word inept, the word adulterer or something is expression. He said he described a person. Wait,
it could be a noun or an adjective. Right.
You seen that adulterer, Bobby? That adulterer. I'm going this route because I'm like, all right, this is where, like, we get back to the thing. This is where the Most High looking at this one I was trying to give you. He said, according to his divine power, have given unto us, are given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness. You know what I'm looking at? When we get it, oh, the Most High. We got that new apartment, oh, the Most High. We got that new home, oh, the Most High. We got that job, oh, the Most High. We got that land. We got some prayers up, man. The Most High blessing me. You read it. He blessed you with that, with life. But now when I start to strip and take, and I'm destroying the earth like I prophesied, we're supposed to be saying, oh, the Most High. Should he doing what he was supposed to, what he said he was going to do from the beginning? We teach that salvation is of the Jews, right? We teach that. Right. We teach that the scripture says that we was going to be saved from our enemies. How can we rejoice and be happy when the Most High given us carnal things, but we're not rejoicing when the Father's trying to give us freedom? I'm trying to save you out of the condition that you're in. But the only way to save
the most high blessing Israel is to bring us home to where our life is as Israelites, not to be American Hebrew Israelites. Like we have Afro Americans, we have Afro Cubans, we have Afro Haitians. We used to be trying to live like Afro Hebrew Israelites, as opposed to Christ didn't die for us to be Afro Hebrew Israelites. He died for us to be Hebrew Israelites going back home. His blessing where the nation goes home, like when he brought the nation out of Egypt. That's the life. But I'm gonna party like a rock star, and that's the blessing of the Most High.
Right. No. Brother, that the bank account walked around like this big home, or I done. But you know that I done got blessed with $100 million in my bank account. And now the Most High gonna burn down the bank? You know how much hustling and what I had to do to get loans together and swindle and talk my way into $100 million, and then you burn down the bank? See, that would only affect, you're right, Michelle, that would affect the Afro Israelite. It would, because I wasn't looking for salvation. My bank account saved me. My riches saved me. I'm in my kingdom. But I'm glad, I'm liking what I'm doing. Because you look at it in the Most High, like, this is what I was giving you. Through the divine power, through the knowledge, this is what I was giving you. He says, according to his divine power, it says, according as his divine power has given unto us, right, all things that pertaineth unto the Most High, unto life, I'm sorry, and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. So the more we learn about the Father, we understand this is what I'm calling you to. I'm calling you to glory. But we believe that the glory he's calling that the churches believe. You know what I'm saying? The Lord called us to glory. Our Father went on and died.
I'm sorry. I'm getting my sarcasm on. So in dealing with the knowledge of God, is God the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, or is God the God of Wells Fargo? Or is God the God of my Social Security benefits? Or is God the God of my VA benefits?
Mm-hmm.
Is that who he's the God of?
No. He's the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
I know I'm being a little sarcastic, that if we're getting the knowledge of God, he says that one would destroy for a lack of knowledge. So what I guess my question is then, trying to be more rhetorical, is, so what does it mean to get the knowledge of God? That's my sincere, honest question.
And you know, I'm going to, it is the prophecies. It's his will. It's understanding what he's doing. The knowledge of the Most High is understanding that we're his people. We went into captivity because we didn't keep his commandments. But the captivity that we were in, wasn't going to be forever. It was going to be for a time. And then the Most High was going to come, get us out of captivity, and deal with us. We're in captivity, and this place is going to be destroyed. So the Most High is going to take us out of captivity so he can deal with us. So homes are going to burn. Land is going to burn. Banks are gone. Everything that you have, we have been trying to build what we would call our spirituality off of, right? We're sitting around, legs crossed, doing yoga and everything else, trying to find some spirituality. And the Most High every day is like, you know what? These prophecies are getting closer than we believe. Like a better word, the Bible called it, our salvation is nearer than we believe. So if destruction to a place is salvation, it's nearer than you believe. If
that's Romans 13:11, kind.
Yes,
if you wanted it. If you wanted it, Romans 13:11.
Most of the time you're going to burn this place out and chariots is going. That's what I'm saying. I know that these are a lot of topics that as Israelites or people, we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear that this was in the Bible. But the scary thing is you'll never be at peace. You'll never be able to see the divine power of the Father until you do accept these are the prophecies. This is what the Bible says. This was going to happen. And the more we read it, the more we apply what we're reading to the times that we're in, and we see it every day, this thing is getting closer and closer. Would you say something?
No, but I'll just offer Romans 13:11 if you want it. I'll just offer Romans 13:11 if you want it. But
okay,
forgive me for bringing my little sarcasm in, and what I'm doing. Forgive me, that was wrong of me. Please continue with your class, Rob. Please continue with your class.
Okay, now read verse 4. Good morning, read 4.
I went to Romans 13.
2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4.
2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 reads, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
You read?
And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge.
I want to have one thing. I'm kind of read down. I want to make sure I wasn't missing something. But the way that we were going to escape, what was the most I'm going to use for us to escape?
The knowledge of the scripture.
Right. And then
the prophecy.
But the scriptures tell us about a promise. Everything in this book, from Old Testament and New Testament, it keeps reminding us of a promise between us and the Father. All the way from Genesis to Revelations. Revelation can go and talk about Judgment Day. Revelation can talk about the people, the 144,000, the one-third, the ones that were arrayed in white. These are all promises that we read about, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature. By these promises are the only reason we're going to make it to the kingdom.
If I can lend you one scripture, hopefully I'm not trying to take it in those type of way. If I can lend one, hopefully this helps. I'll read it myself. It's Revelation chapter 19, verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See that I do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Mm-hmm. That for everybody that's in churches or in Israelite camps, talk about they got Jesus. Here the angel's telling us in Revelation, the 19th chapter, the second to the last book of the third to the last book of the Bible, that if you're dealing with the spirit of Christ, you're dealing with the spirit of prophecy.
God.
So for those who are not dealing with the spirit of prophecy, talk about, yeah, Christ is on my side, or Most High bless me, but it's not dealing with these prophecies, that might be something a person might want to examine within themselves. Is God. That really Christ?
Right.
Is that really the Most High that you're making your boast about, where the testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy?
Right.
Are we dealing with these prophecies as we're talking about, look what the Most High blessed me with, look what the Most High gave me? If we're dealing with the knowledge of the Most High, are we dealing with the prophecies, or are we saying, look what I got, and because of the knowledge I have, that's why I got this, because the knowledge I got, that's why I got this? But somehow or somewhere, we're leaving off what the scripture says. If we're dealing with Yahweh Shai, or we're dealing with Jesus, we're dealing with the spirit, the testimony of prophecy. I just want to add that, bro, to what you were going over.
Man,
hopefully that fit. I hope that fit.
It does, because you know, I'm loving what you're saying out, because what's got me is having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And like, if we know that we live in a world that has kept us corrupted, it keeps us focused on everything but what's going on, what's happening. It's like the scriptures help you open your eyes to what's going to happen next, what we're supposed to be looking for, what's going on. We're so blinded, Shabbat, because we have been corrupted. We're not able to escape. So the prophecies help us to see the thing that we want. You start looking at Wells Fargo, and like, you know what, man, the Most High said this person's gonna burn. So when I'm every day going to check my bank account, or when I go out, I'm going to pull all my money out the bank. But you can't trust these banking systems out. You got to pull all your money out the bank. Well, hell, what good is that paper going to be?
Didn't a lot of people just put their money in Bitcoin and Bitcoin crashed?
Well, yeah. When you got Christ and the angels here, What you gonna tell them? Well, y'all gotta hold on. I got $1 million in the bank, man. Is there any way I can, you know, trade this money in, trade this currency in for God's currency? Come on, man. We don't have more of our people trying to bring this world with us than trying to escape from the corruption that is in this world through lust. That's immaturity. I would be no different. Come on, man, I'd be no different if I'm sorry, I'm just like caught up on the stupidity in it, because a lot of people are going to do it. And we've given our life, not to prophecy, we've given our life to this world. And the things that are in the world that were appealing to me, getting that big $500,000 house, that was appealing to me. So that is what I went after. Getting that career, that was appealing to me. So that's what I went after.
Hey, can I read this history?
Please.
Acts chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse 6. Acts chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse 6. I'm going to read through it kind of quick. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 13, verse 6, it says, "And when they had gone through the isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God." So this before Paul got his name changed to Saul. So he was with Barnabas, and this is Barnabas and Paul before Paul changed to Paul. Verse 8. "But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, set his eyes upon him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." I just want to bring that up about being in the wrong mindset about what people be doing. And you might have been a person who can really be stopping the word of the Most High, because you're getting people to think about the wrong thing. That's all that history. That's all I want to do.
Brother, you know what's crazy too? As you're talking about that, reading that, and I'm looking at what we're reading about it, being able to escape corruption. You know what got me? When you read verse 5, I'm going to read this too, man. First Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says, "And beside these, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, your virtue knowledge." It says, "And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yahushua. But he that lack these things is blind and cannot see afar off." It says, "And have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." I'm reading it because I'm like, I don't think that what we do every day is look at the effect of the world and look at what things are not growing in me. I walk around angry all the time. I walk around self-absorbed. I walk around, and the only person that I care about is me. I go to sleep. I close my eyes and sleep comfortable, believing that I'm living right because I've been using wisdom and making sure that everything around me is taken care of. The most I like, all these virtues that are supposed to be growing in us, he can understand why they're not growing. Because the word, the knowledge, the prophecies, they're not the lack of these prophecies. The lack of the knowledge is making you barren and unfruitful.
If I could read one more history, this is what I want to get. And I'm trying to lean to the importance of us dealing with the prophecies, that we're really giving our mind over to the prophecies. I'm in Acts chapter 8. I'm sorry, verse 14. I'm going to read down. I'm going to read it quick. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. I'm going to read down. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet, he was not fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, or Yahweh Shai. Verse 17. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of the Most High might be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of the Most High. Mm-hmm. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray the Most High that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans.
Wow.
So if I can, hopefully, again, I'm trying to help. I'm not trying to leave shit or whatever. I'm really trying to. And shit is in the Bible. It's known as dung. And most of us say he was going to bite dung on our faces. So I'm sorry. I just want to. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to help.
No. Keep talking.
I read it.
Both the chapters are strong, right up here, because you know what I'm looking at? You're reading about trying not to be affected. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like, man, I'm hoping that spirit of bitterness don't rub off on me.
That if we're not careful, how much the corruption of the world, that's what I was trying to lend on, from what you were just expounding on. But how the corruption of this world, the corruption of this place, if we're not careful, like Christ told us about the three seeds.
Right.
That some seed landed on good ground, some seeds landed among the thorns, some seed landed among the by the wayside.
Stony ground.
And some landed on that stony ground, and that among the thorns it said the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke your word, and that this man becomes unprofitable. That if we're not really careful and really keeping our focus and our mind really on the prophecies, that the way this world is designed, the word will really get swallowed up quick. And we'll be thinking, I can purchase it. I can buy it. And now I got enough. I can do it this way. Or some examples that you just was bringing up about that the excuses that we'll make, that with the Most High's prophecies is ready to come down, but because I got this going on, I got newly married. I got some land. I got this, whatever that I need to go take care of. Then now, not keeping up with the prophecies, we'll think we got time to go do these things, and that we're still in the spirit, that we're still following the Most High. I'm only trying to help, like I said. I'm only trying to help.
No,
I'm trying
Shada,
to help.
I was going to read this to go with what you said, man. I was just down to verse 16 in that chapter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunning devised fables.
Cunning.
Is that, did I read that right?
It says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Yahushua, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty.
But that's why I like, that's what hit me now, the fact that you're reading examples of men that where I understood where that spirit was coming from. They understood, oh, that's your bitterness. Oh, that they understood the motivation behind what you were doing. You're trying to pay me off. I understood the motivation behind what you're doing. I'm going to go teach the gospel. That's what hit me. When you read that earlier, I'm like, man. But it says, but verse 17 says what?
For he receives from the Most High the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount.
Read.
We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your minds or hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation.
So I wanted to try to get to that verse because I'm looking and saying there are a lot of cunningly devised fables that are set up to get us to focus on everything but the coming of the Most High or the coming of Yahusha. There are a lot of spirits, a lot of influences. I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to point nobody out, but there are a lot of influences, man, that you will look, you'll watch a man and be more influenced to follow something that sound cool. The words were just placed perfect. He had enough tone in his voice or enough whatever it may be to get you to follow him and to forget that Christ was coming back. Let that go for a second, right? Go to 1 Corinthians out, right? Chapter 11 and verse 16. And then thank God for the way. 11 and 16.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16.
I put these down. I put them down as examples of unity. That's what I labeled. I marked it. That's what I'm reading for. I'm reading to be able to figure out how do we know we unify with the Spirit? How do we know we unify with each other? And the only place you can go to is in the Bible to be able to look at and find out what they did, so that we can now pattern ourselves after the examples that were set before us. All right? So read that.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 16 reads, but if any man seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of the Most High.
Mm-hmm.
Now, In this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For, first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper.
Or it's not just about the ceremony or the high holy day or the dinner or there must be a meaning behind it. Every time that we come together, it's not the Sabbath day. It's just about, well, I just honor the Sabbath. But most of, like, when you come together in the Lord's house, it's not about the Lord's Supper. It wasn't about what's the word I'm looking for?
It's not about the food.
The technicalities of, well, it's supposed to be a feast, so where's my plate?
Right. Right.
And the technicalities that it's a technicality. I'm supposed to eat the lamb. I'm supposed to drink the wine. I'm supposed to do the bitter herb. That this was supposed to be about, and now it's not about this, and now I'm mad. That's not the purpose of a holy convocation.
Oh, now there you go. Or the priest tabernacles. What I did, I put a tent up. I put my tent up and I burn my. I put a tent up or something. I put my bonfire out. Oh, you know what I'm saying? It was the Sabbath day. I commemorate the Sabbath day because I put my tent up, and for 7 days or 8 days, my tent was up every night. I slept under the stars, like the scriptures say.
Or I didn't really put a tent up. You know, I got four of the kitchen chairs, and we threw a blanket over it and kind of let the kids kind of, kind of do their thing, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, most of knows my heart. Most of knows what I had going on. You know what I mean? I mean, we still in hell. I still had to work, you know what I mean? It's still.
I don't remember asking you
I called the brothers and found out one day I'm supposed to celebrate it on, and me and my family, we put up a tree, we went out, we got creative. We went out in the backyard, got all the wood and all the leaves and all the tree branches, cut them off, put a tarp under, and then line tree branches on top. Because this year, we're really going to do it right, man, and we're going to be extra spiritual. When we come together, the scripture on this, we're really not understanding why we do what we do. The most I'm looking at it, you came together, but you really didn't understand the purpose of why I had to do that. There was a deeper meaning to this. But we're not going in the book to find out the deeper meaning of why you want us doing these things. If it was not working on the Sabbath day so we could come together, then that was the whole purpose. It wasn't about not doing serve our work. Because we don't take that so literal. I'm not going to turn a light on. I ain't going to get out of bed. I ain't going to brush my teeth. I'm not going to turn the hot water on, because that would be me kindling a fire. So I'm going to lay in this dark room on my couch and tell myself that the fact that I'm laying here, I am honoring the Sabbath day, where everyone else got up and went to the temple on the Sabbath day. Even Christ himself went to read on the Sabbath day. But I'm reading this, and I'm like, as we keep reading these things where he's trying to show us, you are divided, there's division among you, as heresies because there's a lack of understanding in what you're doing. You're going through the celebrations, the high holy days, but you're going through them in the wrong spirit, in the wrong mind frame. It says, "For I'm going to read verse 20. It says, when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone take it before others his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunk. When we do come together, I come together, and who is the one I'm looking out for? Me. So one is hungry because I looked out for me. One got stuffed and dropped because I was looking out for me. But at what point, what you're saying,
you just got me thinking about when after the teaching was done, when Christ taught the 5,000, and all the disciples had left was like three fish and some bread. And how it said, feed them. Even before he said, feed them, the disciples came to Christ and said, so you're going to go ahead and send everybody away? It's time for us to eat. And how it was like, nah, feed them. And it was like, you know how it was, we got three fish and two loaves of bread. We're going to divide this up amongst ourselves. And this is all we got. And he said, feed them. How? Are we supposed to get enough money? Are we supposed to go to the next town and buy enough supplies for everybody to feed everybody? Y'all said, man, sit down. Y'all sit down. The little bit the disciples had, he took all that. And instead of pulling rank, being like, hey, these are my disciples, and they understand order. I'm going to feed them first, then they're going to feed everybody. Yeah. They're going to feed everybody else.
Yeah. Right.
No, they fed everybody else to the full. Then, after everybody else ate, and so all the teaching was done, then they served everybody else. Then they collected, and then each one of the disciples had a basket full of food, not just one or two brothers or one or two families. Like, oh, we're doing good. Everybody was taken care of. If Christ is supposed to be our head, like I know we read 1 Corinthians 11:3, that Christ is the head of the Most High is the head of Christ. Christ is the head of man. Man's ahead of the woman, that if we're really following Christ, are we really following Christ? I just want to say that, just define what you were saying behind. Now everybody makes sure they're eating. Everybody makes sure that they're being taken care of. But if we're really following Christ, Christ truly made sure everybody else was taken care of. And then when it was done, everybody had equal parts. It wasn't this thing of, you're not on my level. Because of my rank, I'm supposed to get more and you get less. Christ, if we're following Christ, he made sure everybody had the equal amount. Just
right.
As opposed to, I'm going to make sure I get mine. And hey, if you don't hurry up.
Yeah, bro, it's going to be gone.
You better get here.
Y'all make sure y'all get full. You know what's crazy? I thought about the Feast of Tabernacles. And the one thing that all the years we did the Feast of Tabernacles, especially in Georgia, that was heavy in my mind. Every house, there would be a different family that we'd eat dinner every night this family cooked. Or we went to this brother's house, and he held a feast in his house, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there would be so much food left over. You know what I'm saying? There would be food left over, or it wouldn't even be food left over, but it would be that family had more. They have more food in the refrigerator, you know what I'm saying? At the end of that night than they did when they started, you know what I'm saying, when they was just having dinner and just taking care of themselves. And I always used to think about, you used to always bring that point out. You used to always mention that it was so much more, the blessings always got so much bigger on these days because we came together to make sure that everyone ate. Everyone's taken care of. So as I'm reading it, I'm like, he said, for eating, everyone taketh before others his own supper. But when you read Philippians chapter 3, it says what? Is it 3? He said you pursue others.
It's 2. It says to esteem others better than yourself. That's
right.
What it's about. It's about esteeming others better than yourself.
But you know, we live our lives going off of Gabar. What don't I have? What I don't have, or if I got, I don't know if this gonna last. So I'm gonna follow the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 is wise, 5 is foolish. See, I got all this, brothers, because I was that wise virgin. I had enough in my lamp. It ain't my responsibility to make sure that you have enough in your lamp. Our thinking, the way we put these scriptures together, are completely, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to live by this. Those are those cunningly fables. They're so subtle that we use the Bible. We can use the book in, this ain't just us, it's just Israelites, the church, all of it. I use the Bible to kind of paint the picture that I want you to see. But realizing the true example of Christ was the example of sacrifice, not selfishness. I was healing and feeding. And then before he died, I sent the 70 apostles out, disciples out, right? I told them to go out and prepare this home for my coming. Prepare this family for my coming. Prepare for my coming. I'm coming to help this family now. I'm coming to this place to help these people.
Focus on the prophecies. Kind.
That's why I said I'm reading. I'm like, man, these are those examples of when the choice could have been made at any point. And, man, every time we get going. It was this one was on me. I started late. You know what I'm saying? It was getting good. We got to bring it back. You know, we'll bring it back in, but you know what I'm saying? It's gonna be food for thought to let us know, man, we have to start changing our outlook and start understanding that true brotherly love is about these examples. The people that you actually go out to go and help, not what you get. We ain't unified because I'm getting. We're unified. We should be unified in trying to help each other and help the ones that's fortunate, because there's going to be a lot more of us out here that need help and are less fortunate. Now, with that, we're going to call it Blessed Sabbath, man, and get ready for next Sabbath day.
Now, I got to paint it back on, but go ahead.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's fine, bro. Hey, I some of these classes, I've been needing to get a...
You're high.